I want you to go with me very quickly to the book of John, chapter 9. The book of John, chapter 9, verse 1. I leaned over to Pastor Darren and I said, something feels different today. I don't know if you can feel what I feel, but there is something in the atmosphere, and I don't believe that it's just good vibes. I don't believe that it's just positive energy. I really believe that the Spirit of God is not just in this house, moving in these moments that we've been gathering on Sundays, but I believe the Spirit of God has been moving from those moments. If we just let God move in a service and in four walls and in a space between 9:30 and 10:30, that's a service. If you let God move in a moment, that's a service. But if you let God move from a moment, that's a shifting. Now, I've been creeping on some of y'all. I'm a people watcher. When you're at the airport for 3 hours on a layover, you get tired of podcasts and reading, and you can only eat so much Chick-fil-A. You just people watch. And so I'm a people watcher. I can't help it. Some of you don't even see it in the mirror. Some of you don't even realize it yourself. You don't even know there's a change on you. There's a different look about you. Now, that can be optimistic hype. That can be revival rhetoric. Or we can believe intrinsically that God is transitioning us from glory to glory to glory. I see so many faces. I see faithful faces. I see new faces. And I'm telling you, the glory of God is in this house. And I just believe that the Lord is just, I believe he's taking us somewhere individually and collectively. So I want to go to the word of the Lord. It's my fourth Sunday here, and I don't want to go one Sunday without giving honor to your leadership. I'm so grateful for your bishop. I'm so grateful for your pastor, your family. And I'm so grateful for every single hostess, every single usher. You know, when you come to Truth Church, you see a smile in the parking lot. And then you get a smile in the foyer, and then you get a smile in the coffee shop, and then you get a smile in the sanctuary, and there's people everywhere smiling at you. And that's because this is not just a church, it's a church family. It's a church family. It really is. And so whether you've been here for a long time or whether you've been here just a few months or perhaps this is one of your very first services, then I hope you already know it's a hostage situation. You're already family, whether you like it or not. And as a family, we're just going to let our Heavenly Father speak to us. And I know they're coming in, but can we give it up for all of the singers and musicians and all the young men and women? Come on, make it loud for them. I know they are a key part to what we're feeling today. And I'm so grateful for what God did on Friday. And thank you for facilitating an atmosphere and being a church that allows young men and women to feel valued. And this is not just a multicultural church. This is a multi-generational church. We believe whether you're 12 or you're 27 or you're 62 or you're 88, that God has a plan for everybody. Amen. Well, I wanted to have story time with LG, but we're just going to go to the word of the Lord. Would that be okay? John chapter 9, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, say amen. Amen. I appreciate your honesty. John 9 and 1. We'll give a few more seconds, a few more minutes. Oh, you got it on the screen. If you're cheating and looking on the screen, say amen. Amen. All right. If you're just saying amen, say amen. Say amen. Amen. Okay. John 9 and verse 1. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Then Jesus says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spit, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And the neighbors therefore, and they which had seen him that he was blind, said, is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, no, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that's called Jesus, he made clay, and he anointed my eyes. And he said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. Yep. I feel such a witness of God's spirit in this room. And I just believe that he's going to speak to us today. So for just the next few moments, I want to preach to you on this simple subject. Your problem has you right where your promise wants you. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to tell them those words. Your problem. Some of you are already afraid to say it. Your problem has you right where your promise wants you. I want you to turn to your other neighbor and I want you to tell them your problem has you right where your promise wants you. I wonder if you just find a third random person. Maybe you got to scream it across the pew, but I want you to just tell them your problem has you right where your promise wants you. Can we just pray one more time? Now, we're human, and nobody likes to get their hopes up. Nobody likes false hope. But when you're in the presence of God, you can get your hopes up. I just feel like raising our hope. Would that be okay? So I know we've lifted up our hands, but we're about to lift up our hope. So can we just lift up our voice and our hands? And this time, can we lift up our hope just one more time in this room? And we're just going to thank God. We're not going to beg him. We're not going to twist his arm. We're just going to thank him for what he's getting ready to do. God, I thank you that our hope is anchored to something behind the veil. Our hope is in something sure and steadfast. God, as we are moving in faith today, we believe that you are moving the unmovable. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in the next 15 to 20 minutes. I thank you for your word that will not return void, but let it do what it has set out to accomplish today. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. Somebody said in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Would you clap your hands as you're seated unto the Lord? The more water the preacher drinks, the shorter he will preach. That is a compounding revelation. Some of you will understand that a little later. John chapter 9 and verse 1. And Jesus saw a man that was blind from birth. Can I just go ahead and preach? Jesus passed by. And he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Jesus passed by. and he saw a man that could not see him. So tell me why your shortcomings and your insecurities and your idiosyncrasies and your mistakes and your past and your dysfunction has to stop you on a Sunday morning. I came to provoke you and remind you that your weakness is not his weakness, and your limits are not his limits, and your dysfunction is not his. Jesus passes by and he beholds, he perceives, he sees a blind man. He sees this man before this man ever sees him. I've got to preach to somebody this morning that is trying to be more qualified for their miracle. I'm trying to preach to somebody this morning that is trying to earn the love of Christ. I need to preach to somebody this morning that is trying to bring your good works into the house of God. And you believe that by your own righteousness and by your own pseudo-perfection, that you can impress God so much that he will finally acquiesce and do what you desperately need him to do. I want to rebuke that lie of shame and condemnation and unworthiness that would try to seduce you into believing that you have to measure up to perfection. Jesus does not move into your life when you are perfect. Jesus does not begin to save you after you are perfect. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he loved us before we could ever reach. I don't need another reason to dance. I don't need another reason to shout. He loves me even when I am unlovable. Even when I cannot see him. Jesus sees a blind man. Now that doesn't encourage you if you are here this morning and you have 20/20 vision. But that does encourage you if you have shown up to the house of God and your visage is cloudy, and your vision is foggy, and there's more darkness than light, and everything is ambiguous, and everything is discombobulated. And you ever use the word discombobulated? If you never use that word, you really need to start using that word. I'm speaking to people that just might not can see everything clearly. Jesus knows how to meet people that are in the dark. And Jesus has the ability to speak into your life before you see everything clearly. What? Jesus is passing by a man that is blind from birth. Notice, the Bible says he is blind from his birth. How many people are living from their past forward? When you were ordained to be pulled and beckoned into your future, however, your whole life is defined by your past forward. He is blind from birth. He is defined not by the future that is in front of him, but by the darkness and the past that is behind him. But Jesus is passing by him. Jesus sees him. And the disciples,
You got to love the disciples. They really have social etiquette. Yo, Master, why is my dude blind? They say it out loud. The man can hear them. He's right there. And this is where somebody says, yo, the cringy level is like, the cringe level is too high. Tone it down, chill. Oh no, let's make an awkward situation more awkward. Who did sin? Is it him or his parents? But it's not just them that talk out loud about him in front of him. Jesus talks out loud about him in front of him. You will never be able to stop the voices that accuse your mind and your spirit, but you can stop the voice of God. And the last thing you need to do is let the voice of accusation, the last thing you need to do is let the voice of accusation be the last voice you, there's another voice, there's another voice. I know you hear voices of fear. I know you hear voices of depression. I know you hear voices of hopelessness. But there's another voice. Yes, sir. Yes, there is. Let me just walk through the text. And Jesus says, no. I want you to put verse 3 up there. Stay with me if you can. He says, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works, plural, of God should be made manifest in him. We live in a dark world. We live in a vile world. We live in a world full of sin. But not everything problematic is satanic. And not everything dark is demonic. God knows how to get glory from your story. God knows how to use your problem to bring you to a greater promise. Listen. Nope. It's not because of this man's sin. It's not because his parents sinned. This is not because of his earthly father. This is because of his heavenly father. If you're going to believe in generational curses, then you better believe in generational blessings. And what your earthly father did not do for you, your heavenly father did. I don't know what your earthly father passed down to you, but your heavenly father, I got to shout again. He imputed righteousness to you. He shed his blood for you. But don't you know that the sins of the Father, they visit the third and even the fourth generation. But you got to keep reading. His mercy endureth.
Come on.
His truth endures to all generations. His mercy endures to the generational curse has to stop, but the mercy doesn't have to. The grace doesn't have to. The righteousness of God can go on in your life. Yes, it can. No. The works, plural, of God are about to be made manifest in his life. Watch. Jesus says, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. You're talking about light in front of a man that's living in night. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. So there's two revelations. Night is coming. And when night comes, no man can work. But God is not just any other man. We clock out at night. God doesn't. We clock back in. God doesn't. He works the night shift. He that keepeth Israel does not sleep, nor does he slip. I just feel like reminding the devil, my father, my daddy, my king, my creator. He doesn't just work on Sunday morning when the lights are on and the choir is singing. He works at midnight when I'm lonely and I'm distressed and I'm bothered. I gotta hurry, I'm almost done. That's the revelation. Night's coming, no man can work, but he's not just any other man, but this is the other revelation. It's not night yet. Jesus says, I've got to work while it is day. I've got to work while it is day. But he's saying this in front of a man that can't see. He's saying this in front of a man whose life is full of darkness. But he's about to have a revelation in the dark. Some of you don't realize, but it's dark enough to see. Because God is not limited by what we are limited by. God sees in the day and God sees in the night. God speaks in the day and God speaks in the night. And Jesus says, I must do the work of the one that sent me while it is day. But he has the audacity to proclaim this in front of a man that is living in perpetual night. But when Jesus speaks to you, he does not speak according to your past, and he does not speak according to your present. He speaks according to your future. That's why he has called us out of darkness into his. God doesn't call you when it's light. He calls you out of darkness into his light. Some of you are despising the voice of God in your life because surely he could not speak this loudly and it's clearly while it is this dark. But the call of God comes to you before you have made it out of the darkness. Am I making sense? This is what the Bible says. I'm almost done. The Bible says, he continues, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had spoken, he spit on the ground. Now is not just the disciples being awkward. Jesus has joined the awkwardness. The Bible says he spits on the ground. I need to repeat that statement so it can process. Jesus spits on the ground and he makes clay of the spit and then he places it upon the eyes of the blind man. No, that's not what scripture says. The Bible says he anoints the eyes of the blind man. I told you I'm simple. Keep coming back to Wednesday nights for revelation with Pastor. He is anointed before he can see clearly. He is anointed before he is delivered. He is anointed before he can even recognize the voice that is speaking to him. And you thought anointing always felt good. I have learned that oils and spices and myrrhs are not the only thing God uses to anoint with. You know what God uses to anoint me? Agitation. And I'm still a little bitter about it. I don't understand it. I want to be anointed. Are you willing to be agitated? Because this is what I have learned about us. This is what I have learned about you. Oh, someone's getting defensive. Okay. We won't make it that personal. This is what I've learned about me. As much as I want to go where he wants me to go, I still don't always go. And so it is the grace of God that uses agitation in our life to provoke us to go where we would not have normally went. I'm almost done. Hear me. He commands him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. He has been living his life begging, sitting, but now he is commissioned. And Jesus says, I want you to go to a pool called sent. And so it is on this Sunday that you and I get to make the decision. Will we leave church or will we be sent from church? Everybody leaves church.
Yeah. That's good.
You get to decide if you are sent on mission, on assignment, with anointing. Can I preach just a few more minutes? I'm almost done. Watch. Does the blind man go and wash if he doesn't have to? Jesus gives him a reason to wash. He spits in the ground and he makes clay and he puts it all over his eyes. And so you tell me what you're going to do. If you know that everybody that's looking at you sees spit and dirt, we're just being nice and calling it clay all over your eyes. And now there's a man who is fumbling through the crowd and he's fumbling to the city and he's always begging, but now he's got to go wash. But what he doesn't realize, he's going to go to the pool of Siloam. And he's going to wash. But when he washes the agitation out of his eyes, the Bible says that he is going to see for the very first time. And people are going to look at him and they are going to question him. Can you imagine? He walks up to the fruit stand and someone says, what do you want? You want apples or oranges? And he reaches out and he grabs the apple. And then he walks over to the vegetable stand. And they say, okay, do you want carrots or broccoli? And this time he picks out the broccoli by himself. And he said, whoa, are you blind? Because I'm pretty for sure you're the blind man. You've been blind from birth. Somebody said it was because of your parents' sin. And the Bible says that the man who was blind from birth can now see for himself. Watch, stand with me. Watch, you have to catch this. I'm telling you, somebody's eyes are about to be open, and light is about to cascade where there has been darkness, and you don't even realize, but the turmoil and the pain and the devastation and the agitation has brought you to your promise. All things work together. You don't believe me? Can I use all of y'all? Y'all run up here on stage. Run up here on stage. Hurry. Run. All things work together. All things work together. Say it with me. All things work together. Every day and every demon has to clock into him before it meets you. You will never face a day, a devil, a disease, a calamity, a valley that has not checked in with him. Did he send the cancer? Did he send the job loss? Did he send the sickness? That's not what I'm saying. But it has to work for him. And if it doesn't work for him, then it doesn't get to work. Because no weapon formed against you can prosper. Every weapon formed against you, it will be formed. But it has a defect. So you come to church. Can I use you? Can you run up here? We should have planned this out, but we didn't. You come to church, you're shouting, you're giving God praise. The evangelist says, God's working all things together for the good of them that love him and are called. Well, there's still a lot of darkness in my life. He calls you while you're in the darkness. But I can't see clearly. He's already anointed you. God does not anoint moments or people of perfection. You know what God anoints? Direction. The hand of God on you, the love of God upon you, and the anointing upon you. It's not justification for everything dysfunctional in your world. But the hand of God and the love of God and the anointing of God and the help of God just needs you to point in the right direction. That's what repentance is. It's a change of direction. If God always blessed us based upon the here and now, we would not receive every blessing. But God blesses and touches and anoints, not just based on who you are, but who you are becoming and where you are going. That means you cannot stop. You can't stop. You can't stop. You got to get to the pole called sent. And you got to wash. You got to be washed by the word. You got to be washed by the spirit. But then Monday comes. A job loss comes. Unexpected news comes. An accusation from the past comes. Animosity comes. Destruction comes. Unforgiveness comes. So I just got a question for you. Are you going to work for his good? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, okay, you get to work. Are you going to work for his good? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, you get to work. Are you going to work for his good? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, you get to work. I need one of y'all to say no for this illustration to work. You could help me out. Are you going to work for his good? Yes or no?
No.
Then you don't get to work. You're laid off. You're fired. Are you going to work for his good? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes? Are you going to work for his good? Yes or no?
Yes.
I need one more person to say no, please. One of y'all. Are you going to work for his good? Yes or no?
No.
Are you going to work for his good? Yes or no? Yes? You get to work. You're fired. All things work together. All things work together for the good of them that love him and are called. And if it doesn't work for their good, then it does not get to work. The devil is not his own boss. Disease is not his own boss. Calamity is not its own boss. The Bible says that he watches. He can see. And now the religious crowd says, "Who did this?" They come to his parents and they accuse him. And his parents say, "Hold up. He can answer for himself. Everybody had spoken around him. Nobody had spoken to him." You know what I think happened? I think while living in darkness, he had only gotten used to listening. It's time for you to stop listening to your thoughts and start speaking to your thoughts. It's time for you to stop listening to your flesh and start speaking to your flesh. It's time for you to stop listening to your brain and start speaking to your brain. It's time to stop listening to the devil and start speaking to the devil. I've only been walking for God for 5 months. You're old enough to walk for God. You're old enough to talk to the devil. I've only been sober for 6 months. I don't care how young you are in deliverance. I don't care how young you are in Christ. You're old enough to speak for yourself. I said you're old enough to. You're old enough, man of God. You're old enough, woman of God. Watch. Who did this to you? Who brought sight to your life? He said, "All I know is I met a man named Jesus." You know why they had a problem with it? Because the opening of eyes had only happened in the Old Testament. And it was a messianic prophecy that when Jesus stepped onto the scene, the eyes of the blind were going to be open. So for this man to go from darkness to light meant that Messiah was somewhere close by. So who was really blind? Who was really blind? There were people that could see in the physical, but they were blind in the spiritual. And there was a man born blind in the physical, but his eyes were open in the spiritual. If all you see is all you see, you haven't seen everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I sound like Dr. Seuss, but if all you see is all you see, you haven't seen everything. God wants to open your spiritual eyes. And the Bible lets us know this wasn't just a man who had his eyes opened, but for everyone who knew that he was blind, they now knew that his eyes had been opened. It was messianic prophecy. So for people to see him meant that people were about to see him. So not only did Jesus Christ have to be born, a blind man had to be born. I don't understand it all. He didn't promise me that I would understand it all. But what he did promise me is that all things had to work together. All things. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I know I'm not preaching to everybody this Sunday, but I'm preaching to a few strategic somebodies. And this is the simple word. If you forget every illustration and every story and every joke and every scripture, all I'm trying to get you to understand on this Sunday morning, this Sunday that's full of possibilities, this Sunday that is full of healing and virtue and deliverance and the Spirit of God, all I need you to understand on this Sunday morning is that your problem has you right where your promise wants you. That's all I need you to know. So this is what I want us to do right now. Before we step further and before we step forward, I want us just to lift up our hands right now. And I want us to close our eyes. And I want us to invite light to come into our mind and our heart and our spirit. Can you do that? Can you lift up your hands? Can you lift up your voice? I feel like light would like to come into somebody's mind. I feel like light would like to come into someone's marriage, someone's thought life, someone's decisions. I feel like light would like to shine into someone's path. I feel like light would like to shine forth into someone's past. Woo! Come on, I see it with hands lifted and hands raised. I'm going to invite you to step out from where you are right now. I'm going to invite you to come into this front. Would you walk? Would you step into this front right now? Would you bring your family? Would you bring your spouse? Would you bring your children? Come on, that's it. The light of God is compelling you. You're not going to live from your past forward. Light. Marvelous light. Marvelous light is compelling you right now. Come on, that's it. If you've been here for 50 years, I want you to come. Come on, that's it. If you've been here for 5 months, for 3 weeks, if this is your first service, I want you to come. Light is shining in this house. Light is shining in this house. You don't realize it, but your darkness is going to be a testimony. You don't realize it, but God is going to get glory from your story. If you're in the front, I want you to come just a little closer. Come just a little closer. You're in the front, come in just a little closer. There's people coming in behind you. There's people all across this house. This is what we're getting ready to do right now. We're getting ready to pray. How many of you feel the tangible presence of God in this room right now? Do you feel that? This isn't going to be for everybody, so you don't have to raise your hand. But if something has resonated with you in this word, if you believe the Lord has spoken to you, There's something in this story that's applicable. There's something that God's highlighting, amplifying. I want you to raise your hand right now. Would you do that? Would you just raise your hand? You don't have to raise your hand. It's not going to be for everybody. But if you're raising your hand right now, we're going to do what Pastor admonished us. We're not just going to hear the word. We're going to respond to the word. We've seen it Sunday after Sunday. Something began to happen. When you begin to worship and you begin to pray and you begin to respond and you begin to link with your brother and sister, only so much can happen when I talk. But I'm provoking somebody. You've been listening long enough. It's time to speak for yourself, Dad. Mom, it's time to speak for yourself. Husband, wife, parent, prodigal, saint of God. I know it still might be a little dark, but light is calling you. God loves you so much that if you'll let Him, He's using the agitation to bring you closer to revelation. And there's going to be people that meet Messiah because your eyes are opened. We're getting ready to pray right now. My job is done. But this is the pivotal, climactic, key moment that God wants to confirm His word if you'll let Him. All right? So in unison as a family, can we lift up our hands together? All across this house, can we lift up our hands? Can we lift up our head to heaven? Now, would you lift up your voice and would you just begin to talk to Jesus? Would you tell Him about your problem? Would you tell Him about your need? Would you tell Him about your sickness? Would you tell Him about your emptiness? Come on, let's see it. The unmovable can be moved in this house. Come on, let's see it. The Spirit is falling in this room. Right where you are, you can receive solace. Right where you are, you can receive confirmation. Right where you are, the healing virtue of God can flow. Come on, that's it. Somebody step out of your comfort zone. Step out of where you've been begging. Step out of where you've been sitting. You gotta get to the pool. You gotta get to the pool.
I just wanna speak the name of Jesus.
Come on, that's it. Paul said we're washed by the word. The words wanting to wash you this morning. Come on, you walked in feeling disqualified. You walked in feeling discouraged. You walked in feeling tired, but the word is washing you. The word is cleansing you.